Welcome to the ABM Conversations Podcast, the number one podcast for B2B marketers wanting to explore timeless account-based marketing strategies to drive revenue, customer engagement, retention, and everything that makes sense to both marketers and sales folks. No more fluff. No more vanity metrics. Live from India, made for the world.
Hello and welcome to another brand new episode of the ABM Conversations podcast. And this is me, your host, Yag. In today's episode, we are going to discuss how to build a marketing organization that has customer privacy embedded in the DNA. And to discuss that, we have with us Anko Scholterhorst, the CEO of Freedom Internet, all the way from the Netherlands. Anko worked for Access for All from 2003 to 2005, before he went on to start his own venture. And in 2019, KPN, the largest telecom provider of the Netherlands, acquired Access for All. And that's when they began their new journey as an internet service provider called Freedom Internet. And Anko became the CEO. Anko is a big believer in privacy by design and is focused on building mindshare and market share with privacy at its core. So without being a bottleneck anymore, it's Anko time. Anko, welcome to the show, and I'm super happy to have you today.
I'm very delighted to be here as well. It's remarkable that I can be here because, you know, privacy and marketing sometimes is viewed as two opposites of the spectrum, but in fact, it's not. And so I hope I can shed some light on that, how both ends of that spectrum can strengthen each other.
Absolutely. I'm super excited for this topic. So yeah, let's get going. You know, one of the first things that stands out to me about Freedom Internet is the safe internet aspect that you talk about on your website. Especially, I love the messaging where you say it's an internet provider for and by conscious people for whom the subscribers are not just numbers, but real people. And that you're willing to take the fight for the sake of their privacy and security is commendable. So let's start with that. You know, you passionately talk about privacy by design. So how do you define that in simple terms? Maybe if you can take us through a few examples to make us understand that.
Well, privacy by design actually means that if you do something, a service or product or whatever, that you, from the start of thinking about how you enroll it to your customers, how you will incorporate design and privacy issues in there. So you start that from the drawing table already. Very practical, simple things you can do that already. For example, very simple is a thing that every marketer uses is a newsletter. We said, okay, for a newsletter, we don't want to track our customers. Usually, newsletters are filled with hidden pixels, tracking links and stuff. Right. We said, okay, let's not do that. Let's use a newsletter software that does not track that, does not have these hidden pixels, and make sure that everybody reads the newsletter. And what we see that because we do this, that the amount of people that unsubscribe from our newsletter is close to nil. So people really appreciate that we say, okay, we don't do that. Another very simple fact is that we deliver service internet to our customers. For that, we, of course, need some data of that customer. We need to know where he or she lives, because otherwise we cannot deliver the service. But for example, what we don't need to know is whether that person is male or female, because it has no added value for delivering that service. So we don't ask that to our customers. We don't care because it doesn't really exist. Just from the beginning on, I deliver a service. What do we need to deliver that service? And all other things we don't need, take them away. Those are very simple examples how you can do privacy by design. But you can go on and on and on about this, but those are very simple examples.
Right. I absolutely love that. You know, that's so nice to hear that you don't collect any unnecessary data about people. Now, let's look at the other side of the spectrum. You know, there is the other side where there are data leaks, and data leaks do happen. And sometimes, yep, I would say it's very, very impossible to prevent that. But that said, what you collect about people that you just spoke about, you know, data collection can be regulated. In fact, the whole idea of GDPR or a CCPA or other data privacy regulations are around that. So, you know, what are the kinds of companies that you see companies collecting? I mean, what are the kind of data that you see companies collecting about their customers that often surprises you? And why is that?
Well, what you see in a lot of ways is that for some reason, a lot of companies like to have as many data as possible about their audience. Data is sort of power. Data is knowledge. Data, you can monetize the data. And we said that is, we have to prevent that. At the end, those people, we're talking about people here. We're not talking about data. And this is information about real people out there. And for what we see in, for example, in the whole real bidding platform world, is that people give consent to their data. That's often the excuse. People give consent for a cookie or whatever. But people don't know what that consent means. They right. don't know that if you give consent that you can share it with third parties for advertising, that means that we build a profile of you that is being sold to 1,000 bidders to present you with an advertisement because the bidder at that point thinks that you are interested in that. So there is a huge gap between what people know and what really happens.
Right.
And we try to make two things, make people aware of that this is a real situation, that their data is being sold through many companies for example, real-time bidding. And we try to explain to companies, look, you can advertise, but you don't need super profiling of customers.
Right.
Because we also believe that this super profiling gives a very one-dimensional image of people. Let's say if you interest, and I have searched a few times on peanut butter, then suddenly I only get advertisements of peanut butter.
Right.
Which that is like the same thing that, for example, the next day you walk in the grocery store and all the shelves there's only peanut butter. There's more to it than peanut butter because maybe next day I want something else. So the image, the profiling we do is very one dimensional, and the more we combine, how scarier it gets, because it gets the scary idea that some marketing database should know more about you than you do yourself. And I think that's a kind of scary thought. So sometimes we need to rethink our models. Do we want to build super profiles of possible customers? Or do we really need that? Do we need all this data? Or can we do it smarter? But a funny example is that the Dutch broadcast company in the Netherlands, the NPO, they have a advertisement platform as well, and they stopped doing profiling of their customers. So they stopped direct targeting, retargeting, and all those things you can do. And the funny thing was, what happened is that the conversion rates went up.
Wow.
So they're still investigating how this is possible. But so it is... There is more to it than just a conversion rates and profiling. So they're not always that connected. So that's a very interesting case.
Right, yeah. Right. You know, the beauty about what you said, I can so relate to, is that sometimes we get very unidimensional in our marketing, and we forget that the fundamental of good marketing is respecting our audience as humans.
Yeah, right. I totally agree. You know, they are not data in a profile. They are real humans. And real humans are far more dimensional in many ways than a profile would suggest.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, thank you for that image of Pindakas. You know, I'm looking for that now. Right. So, you know, you folks sometimes literally go to the court to fight for digital human rights. And I haven't seen many organizations that take that kind of a purposeful stand. And not many people realize the gravity of data privacy as well. So in fact, you folks recently joined a lawsuit against Salesforce and Oracle. So can you talk us through a little bit about that?
Yeah, that is Salesforce and Oracle. They bought a couple of years. They bought a few marketing platforms, BlueKai and Krux.
Right.
What these platforms do is they collect data from cookies from customers, and they do this across sites. So they what they're trying to do is they not only collect cookie info from a website you visit, but if you go to other sites which uses the same cookie system, it tries matching those cookies and add those terms and things you do on that site together to build a more and more complex super profile of you.
Right.
And for the, and then the second step is, of course, real-time bidding. So if they build and start building this image of you, this digital image of you further and further, and then offer that to the highest bidder on advertisement platforms.
Right, right.
And the whole thing here is that we think that it's questionable by law, by the GDPR, because it's cross-siting. It is going out, because we are living in the European Union and this is going to American service. That's right. Already a big thing.
Yeah.
And also, people give consent to site A, not knowing that it's combined with info from site B. So there's building more and more information on you. Of course, more and more browsers nowadays prevent this cross-site tracking. So technology-wise, there are already measures taken.
By cross-site, did you mean more like remarketing tags?
Well, no, across, for example, that you go from site A to site B and you cannot, the trackers will not follow you
right,
there.
Right, yeah, retargeting.
So, some browsers block it.
Got it.
Yeah. So what you see is that cookies are slowing disappearing anyway, but there are other methods to do this as well,
yeah.
Fingerprinting and all those modern methods or signed-in services. But the whole this went on for years, and the effect that it has on customers, a person A that gives consent to site B does not know that, as I said earlier, that, for example, and then that leads to the super profile, which is being sold to thousands of advertisers. So that is completely out of proportion. So we said, okay, let's unite. Let's see if we can stop this. The problem, what we have here, is that we have a national guardian that watches over the regulations for the privacy laws, for the GDPRs. But this is so big that they don't have the manpower to do so.
Right.
So the other way we could do is that you start a class action lawsuit. And our goal is not actually to get money out of this
right.
class action lawsuit. Of course, there's money being demanded.
Right.
But the goal is to make this public, to people make aware, and that it stops.
Right.
That is our goal. Stop using those totally out of proportion methods.
Right.
And that is why we joined that lawsuit. And we said, okay, we really want to make a statement here, not only for our own customers, but for the whole internet community.
Right. Awareness in general.
Awareness in general, yes.
Right.
And that is a basic part of a company. It's we do things for our customers. We want to do good, nice products with privacy by design, but we also make awareness for not only our customers, but also the general public. So that also means we, for example, we take a stand now in education area. We are very worried about the use of the large American suites that we have, namely Microsoft and Google, and that they're being used for almost all our children in school.
Right.
Children of the age of 4 or 5 years old already get an account on those platforms.
Yeah.
With data in the United States, with possible profiling going on, with a vendor lock-in at a very young age, we find that worrying. So that's, for example, another area where we now are looking into how can we do a better solution for that. Can we do a European-hosted open-source solutions without profiling, without tracking for our students and children?
Right.
And also that so we take it step by step further and further.
Wow, I absolutely love this, you know, because I can imagine the kind of issues this will create, because I have two kids and my son is on Microsoft Teams for his classes. So I absolutely understand what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Right.
But this is a global issue.
Yeah.
Everywhere people are using Microsoft or Google, and sadly we know that is also again one dimensional. Why is there not other solutions? Big tech in this world is they have brilliant solutions. I don't agree. Technically, it works very good.
Right, absolutely.
But we are dependent of only a few companies in the world for the whole education of our children. And that might be worrying.
Yeah, it totally is. And, you know, Anko, while this is amazing, another very interesting aspect that I see you guys doing is I often hear you guys, how you went about creating a dossier for marketers to do good marketing without the need to overuse any personal data. So would you like to share some pointers on what does this dossier contain? And it would really help a lot of B2B marketers listening to us today.
Well, for example, we need social media advertising. I don't like social medias very much, but it's out there. We have to use it.
Yeah.
And of course, we have to reach our customers as well, and they are out there.
Right.
But the things you can do is very simple. You can make a agreement with like Google and Facebook that they cannot reuse the data you generate. Those things are possible. So what we said is, okay, we have a dossier now how you can do that. It's currently in Dutch, but I'm willing to translate in English. How with pointers, how can you do steps with the Googles, with the Facebooks to do better way of more privacy friendly advertising on social media? Because it's possible. And what you do then is in such a way that they won't reuse the data for their own purposes. So those things are possible. What we also see is that with a lot of third parties we work with, they all work on basis of retargeting, of tracking. And we currently are discussing with all of those parties. For example, we were working with platforms that do comparison between different ISPs, which offers are out there. So a customer can compare them on one side next to each other.
Right.
And they get, if they sell there a certain subscription, then of course they get paid a fee. So we said, okay, how can we do that in a manner that without all kinds of tracking and tracing, we still can advertise there, they get their fee and go on there. This is not easy.
Yeah, it's a nightmare if you ask me.
It's a nightmare. But, you know, the fun part is if you really challenge this and you really start to think about it, it is possible. You can do that. Of course, some techniques are very simple. They're almost old-fashioned, but they do work. If you do a CPC method, it does work. We're now defining a new method that has advantages and disadvantages for the market for these kinds of sites that do a lot of marketing, is that they see less of their customer data. So because we do a we keep track of, okay, this customer came from that site. We don't share other data with them. But what we now do for them is, for example, we make it possible that we can also do cross-device checking. So if, for example, a client checks it through their site, goes to a website, to our website to order, but doesn't continue the order, the marketing website loses their fee.
Yeah.
But if now this customer comes later back within period of X to our site directly and still orders, we still know that it came from that website and still pay out the fee.
That's interesting. How does the attribution happen there?
What we do is when we get referred to our site, we store on our website in the database, we store a unique identifier that we say, okay, this, because people do a postcode check, a code check from your area.
Right.
That we know where you live. We store that. This code is being checked and it came via that marketeer. And we keep that certain amount in our database, not in a cookie, but in a database.
Right.
Because we don't use any cookies on our site. And if the customer comes back within 6-7 days and rechecks his own address and it's still there, we say, okay, that was a customer brought to us by that marketing agency. So we can still pay out the fee. Without that marketing agency has to collect all data about that customer to later say, okay, that was our customer. Those are different methods not being used today where we can do these kinds of marketing. But what we still do is we communicate to those potential customers that we also say, hey, you came to us through that and that website. If you order, we pay them a fee.
Right.
So you know, just that's transparency.
Right.
Be open. And now, that's the message that I can give. Be open, be transparent. You know, if as long as you're open and transparent, people are okay with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't agree more.
Yeah, you use the service from that site, you came to us, so we pay them a fee.
Right.
Okay, fine. So they also know that we also said, so we stored some data of you because we have to register that you came from that comparison website. So we store that because we can pay them a fee.
Right.
We tell them we are transparent. And as long as you do that, I think you can do a lot of things if you are transparent about it. The worst thing that you can do is, for example, these sites that have a cookie statement. You've been there also, I'm sure. And you can say then, okay, you can just agree, or you can say, okay, maybe you can select like 20 different buttons with who you want to share data with, yes or no.
Right.
That is impossible to use for people.
Right.
Turn them all off. And if you say, okay, but I want to, I'm okay to share something because then this can happen, then do it on. So it's more opt-in than opt-out. But that is how we feel it.
Right. Absolutely. And, you know, at this point, I'm going to go a little off tangent and ask you about your organization structure, because I think that's super relevant here. And there's a reason why I'm asking this. You know, too many companies start off with great intentions. At some point, what happens is they are under the pump because of the numbers that they have to deliver to their investors. And privacy can become an afterthought at that stage. So, you know, what I want to ask you is, say, at this point, who are you answerable to in terms of, like, you know, is Freedom Internet reporting to a VC firm or another firm? Like, is it part of a bigger organization? So how is it structured?
Good question. I think we are a bit atypical there. Currently, we have one shareholder, and that shareholder is a non-profit foundation.
Right.
So we don't have any private shareholders. Our capital to start the company was raised by crowdfunding, which was a very successful crowdfunding in 2019, where we raised 2.5 million euros within 3 days.
Wow.
So that's a lot of money. Although in this business, that is not even a lot of money, but it gave us the means to start.
But that's big for crowdfunding for sure.
Yeah. So, and what we said is, okay, now what we don't want to do is a few things. We don't want to be ever being tempted to go for profit maximization.
Right.
Of course, we have to make a profit. We have to improve our services. We have to pay our people. We want to do innovation. So we have to be profitable, but not to a maximum where you have to satisfy your shareholders. Because the danger of that we see is that you are then doing, especially in marketing or sales, always go for the maximum. And there you will start going collecting data because you want more result, more. Yeah, that's a bit of the capitalism nowadays, more. And we said, no, it's not more. It's about making profit for good products and doing good solutions and not for the shareholder. So we put all the shares in the foundation, and that foundation, if we have a lot of problems, they will receive dividend. But when they receive those funds, they will use it as a founding of internet project related projects. You can get funding for that. So they in itself, we are non-profit. This is slightly changing, but also atypical because end of this week, we start a new crowdfunding. And this time we said, because we are believing that we are doing this for the community. We are a community-driven company. So we only said, no, we're not only doing the service for people from that community. No, that community also should be owning us.
Right.
So what we are doing new crowdfunding where we will be selling certificates of shares to whoever wants it.
Right. You're giving out equity.
Yeah, 50% of the company to people, and we say, okay, everybody can buy that. So we hope to raise between 2 and 4 million euros for in this second crowdfunding.
That's really amazing.
There is huge interest. For example, I was really shocked that last week we did a webinar for information. So we invited a group of 2,000 people to that webinar. 670 people subscribed to that webinar within 1 day.
Wow.
In the end, 510 people really viewed the webinar.
Yeah.
And this was on a hot summer day when the Dutch football team was playing soccer.
Okay. First of all, even beyond that, you know, from having 600 plus people signing up to 500 plus people attending, that itself is a big turnover. Usually it's 25% of the signups.
Yeah. So there were huge numbers. And even the webinar lasted 52 minutes and we had an 83% viewing to the end.
Nice.
So also that's a large number.
Yeah,
and we did an exit poll to that crowd, saying, "Okay, are you willing to? Are you planning to participate in this crowdfunding?" With yes, not sure, no. From 400 people did the exit poll. One said no. About 30 said do not know yet, and the rest said yes.
Wow!
So the interest is huge.
Right, that's also proof in the pudding that you're doing things right.
Well, I really believe that it's about storytelling. Tell your story, an authentic story, who you are, where you're for. You're not there only, of course, you deliver a service, a product. They have to be quality. They have to be good. They have to be the best. That's what we're doing. Yeah, we're thriving for privacy, security, and quality. Those are our three pillars. So we have a quality product, but it's not only the product. We do things. We do things for you as a customer, but we also do things for society. That is an important combination. So it's doing good products, and there's some idealistic social part of it as well. And also that people can be part of that story and be a genius. You are part of a movement. People like that. And people like to invest in that. And not necessarily for huge returns on investment. Of course, people ask, what is the risk? What's the possible return on investment? Those are very good questions, and we answer them likely. And of course, we think that people that invest in us on long term will deserve a sort of return on investment. But that is not the first driver for people. The first driver of those people is, I want to be part of this movement.
Right. They believe in it. Absolutely. Amazing. You know, now that we are we've hit the 30-minute mark, it's time to move on to the next part of the podcast, which is called the rapid fire section. And what I'm going to do as part of this is I'm going to put 5 pointed questions at you, try my best to put you on the spot and see how it goes. So are you ready for that?
I hope so.
All right, here you go. Here's question number 1. You know, I would say that a good 80% of the people or more never read the terms and conditions when they sign up for a software. And given that kind of volume, who isn't worried about what data is being collected from them? Have you ever thought about what's the point of me doing all this?
Well, the point is that you have to, of course, inform people of what they are doing if they click OK on something. But make sure that is readable in human format, because that is the problem.
Right.
It's usually legal blah blah.
Yeah.
And nobody reads that. So go and make it readable for a normal person. And then people might read it, actually.
Right.
Don't make the law people write it, make writers write it.
Right. Content marketers and marketers write it, maybe. Right. So here's question number 2. On one side, there is convenience and personalization. And on the other side, there is privacy. And according to you, where does the right balance lie?
The right balance lies is that what I said earlier is that think always about data minimalization. What do you really need?
Right.
And what you really need, that you have to collect. And if you need more, be sure that you can explain why you need that for whatever reason. And not the reason, maybe one day I'll might come in handy, is not a reason.
Right.
So have a reason to ask for certain data and collect that data. And if you can explain the good reason, okay, fine. And then also tell people that you collect the data because of that reason.
Right, right. Absolutely. Love this. All right. So here's question number three. And this is going to be really interesting. You know, sometime back during the elections in the Netherlands, you had posted something interesting. You said, though you don't provide voting advice, you're keenly looking forward to plans from political parties in terms of privacy. So what do you look for in those plans?
Well, what I'm looking for is also awareness. What we see with the government is actually a lack of knowledge about ICT problems. You talked about data leaks,
yeah,
or privacy or security, ICT security in general. And we see that there's such a huge lack of knowledge in this area within the government. So what we actually said, if we use a new elect a new government, we are highly promoters that there should be a minister of digital affairs to aware, because we are so dependent on digital means that sometimes people still talk in the government about all these modern things. New digital age, blah, blah, blah. No, the digital age is already years there.
Yes.
It's nothing new. It's already there. Come on. And you said data leaks are not preventable. I question that. But because I think you can do a huge thing about data leaks, but the first thing you have to do is knowledge and be aware that are people out there that doesn't try to steal it. So be aware, be prepared.
Right.
Oh, and it starts with the government, with information and knowledge already there.
Right.
So that is why we said a minister of digital affairs might be a very good idea to improve the whole knowledge within the government and thereby in the whole country about digital affairs.
Absolutely. They are probably the biggest sources of spreading awareness. I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Right. So here's question number four. Being too focused on privacy, does it make it hard for you to scale your company or grow faster?
Yes and no. Yeah. You know, it means that in everything you do, you think about it. Is this necessary? Is this privacy okay? Is this? So sometimes you have to make choices that are not always maybe commercial or growth-wise the best. But that is the choice we made. Sometimes we have to really discuss. To be honest, we had a discussion last week. We said, okay, in the very early stage of our company, when we started, we had a founding members where people could already pre-register for our services, and they would already get an email. And with an email address from us, with the email system, they also provided a mobile phone number, and that is being used for example, password resets for two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
We also said we only use that phone number for that reason. Okay, fair enough. We also see that there's a large section of that people that requested that email service are not converted to a complete internet connection with us. So somebody said, why don't we call all those people up to ask them why they haven't converted yet to a complete solution of us?
Right.
You know, which is because they are, as we say, low-hanging fruit. We have the information, we have the phone number, and then we said, no, we cannot do that. You know, commercially, yes, this would be brilliant, but...
Yeah.
We promised that we only use their mobile number for security reasons with password resets, not for commercial talks or other reasons.
I'm assuming you would have a hard time talking to marketing and salespeople in your company.
In the beginning, yes. But in the end, they like it because it's challenging.
Yeah, yeah.
You have to use your brain again.
Right.
I'm not against marketing at all. Only... think about it. How can we do it better? How can we make it smarter? And so, because, you know, in the end, I'm commercial. I'm also a commercial person.
Yeah.
But let's think about how we can do it without just using all data and bending the rules. So you have to be very creative. And I like to be creative.
Absolutely. I love that. And here's the final rapid fire question. Do you folks at Freedom run online ads, say, on something like Facebook? And if yes, how do you control the data collection when there are third-party platforms like that involved?
Yeah, we run at the moment ads on Facebook. I rather wouldn't, but I also know that, as I said earlier, a lot of people are out there, and yeah, we have to reach our audience.
Right.
So what we did with Facebook, however, is we, as said earlier, we there are possibilities within Facebook as well that you can do as a minimum set. So you are sure that the data is collected by or our advertising is not being reused for other purposes.
Right.
Am I perfectly happy with that? No. For now, it's a
necessary evil for now.
Yeah. And I hope that in the future we can do other ways. But yeah, we have to do advertising on Facebook. That's how the world works at this moment.
I agree. Love that. You know, this was wonderful, Anko. You know, I had amazing information over the last 40 minutes or so. But before I say thank you and let you go, I want to ask you if you have a parting message to our audience. These are predominantly B2B marketers and salespeople from the SaaS domain. So if you have a parting message that you want to share with them, then this is the time.
I think a good message would be, if you want to sell your product, if you want to make it appealing for people, have a good story. It's not just a product. What is around it? Have an authentic story why this is a good service or product to use. So storytelling, corporate storytelling, is a very, very important part of the whole experience for your customers. You don't want a customer that just want to be because you're the cheapest. You want to be the customer, the loyal, that believes in you, in what you are doing and why you stand for. So be more than just the service of the product.
Absolutely love this message. You know, it's like give people a reason to tell their boss more than saying that I bought it because they are cheaper. I absolutely love this, you know.
Yes.
This nails it. All right. So thank you so much, Anko. This was such a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you for sharing all these nuggets of wisdom. So thank you so much for joining us today. And I really, really appreciate that.
I'm very glad that I was able to be on your show, Jaak. And I hope we can also meet live one day to discuss all those beautiful marketing issues that are out there.
Absolutely. I can't wait to meet my friends in the Netherlands. So when I'm there, we should definitely catch up. So thank you so much. And for the listeners, that's that from us in this episode. And until we connect with you the next time with another guest and another wonderful topic, this is bye from me, Jaak. Have a good day and take care.
Thanks for listening to the ABM Conversations Podcast. Make sure you subscribe and share your comments with us. We're constantly looking for your feedback, thoughts, and suggestions to make the show more relevant to you.